Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now so you can be a part of the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. We invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. Hey, don't wait until later in the broadcast when we're almost out of time. Call right now. You know, we all have issues in our lives, and many times we don't know what to do or where to turn. That's why we are here. Something you need to talk about? Let's talk about it right now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. We've been talking about various aspects of freedom all month long, and I want to go through something today that I hope is kind of a summary, or let's tie all these loose ends together. Mm-hmm. It comes out of Galatians 4. And when we talk about freedom, we're not just talking about freedom from sin. We're talking about freedom to worship the one true God, freedom in Christ, because of Christ, because he lives in us by the Holy Spirit. And all of us have the tendency, and we've said this many, many times on this broadcast, we humans are natural-born legalists. Whenever there's a question, we throw a law at it. That's just what we do. But here is a warning. It comes out of Galatians 4, and I hope it's both a warning and gives you some hope. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a divine promise. So he's talking about Ishmael and Isaac. Mm-hmm. Ishmael was born because Abraham and Sarah said, well, we're not having any kids. Let's try it this way. And, you know, that worked and caused all kinds of problem in the family. Isaac was born as a result of promise. God said, look, this time next year, you're going to have a son. And they all laughed, and then they had a son. And Paul is going to do something here that is shocking in its import. He says, these things are being taken figuratively. The women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai. And his readers are going to go, oh, yeah. Yeah, we know that's the covenant of the promised son. That's from Isaac. And he said, one covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. Put yourself in Jewish shoes in the first century. Persecuted just because they're Jewish. Jesus had come through a Jewish bloodline. And now here's Paul telling people who want to, they think, honor the law, honor their Jewish heritage, that in fact, if you keep going with that Mosaic covenant, you are actually a slave. You are not free. But the Jerusalem that is above is free. And she is our mother. I'm going to skip a couple of verses. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. If you want to experience freedom, real freedom, you must do it in Christ in the new covenant. Mm-hmm. It's the only way to do it. Anything else, if you take the new covenant and try to add some laws onto it, you're going to wreck it. Yeah. If you go back to the old covenant, you're going to wreck it. If you try to do it without a covenant, you're going to wreck it. You're going to become a slave because that's the way it works. It's hard to say that sometimes because, you know, I want to fix things. And I want to fix things in my life, and I want to fix things in your life, and I want to fix things in everybody's life. And the way you fix things is to build a fence around it, paint the fence green, and say it's fixed. And you, as soon as you do that, what have you done to everything inside that fence? You've made it a slave to that fence. Yeah. And the only way we can hope to fix anything is to point people to Jesus Christ and let him do the fixing. He does it in a way that sets us free as we've never been before. Don't go back to Sinai. Right. Sinai is slavery. Jesus Christ is freedom.
That's Basic Freedom, and this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Richard Piper, Bob Davis on this edition. And we're going to be going to Mount Vernon, New York, and talk with Marcia in just a moment. But, Richard, before we go to the phone lines, just want to let our listeners in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area know that Bob is going to be there with, joining Kevin McCarthy, I'm sorry, McCullough, tomorrow at the American Bible Society Atrium Cafe at 1865 Broadway there in New York City. They're going to be there from 1 o'clock until 5 o'clock, and they would really love for you to come and be a part of that and come and visit, and you can do that. And again, that address, 1865 Broadway in New York at the American Bible Society Atrium Cafe, Bob Christopher and Kevin McCullough. Then on Sunday, Bob is going to be joining Pastor Timothy Riles at the Beulah Baptist Church at 125 West 130th there in New York City. That's going to be from 11 a.m. until, we don't know exactly what the until is going to be, but it's going to start at 11 o'clock. So Bob would really love to meet as many of you as can be a part of either of these events or both of these events. So let's go do it one more time. Tomorrow, 1 to 5 p.m. in New York City at the American Bible Society Atrium Cafe. That's at 1865 Broadway. You'll be joining Kevin McCullough, and we invite you to join them at that particular time and that particular place. Then again Sunday at Beulah Baptist Church, 125 West 130th in New York, from 11 o'clock in the morning until they finish, whatever time that is. So go meet Bob, and I know he would love to see many of you there in the New York City area. Right now, plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377. Now to Mount Vernon, New York. Let's talk to Marcia, listening on WMCA. Hi, Marcia. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, how are you? I'm a first-time caller,
good.
And I listen to you
as often as
I can, and I love it. I'm kind of excited, and I have so many questions, but what I was wondering about, right, when I first thought about calling was, what about, like, being a witness to Jesus on the workplace? Now, I know that's frowned upon, I mean, but is that ever, like, appropriate, like sharing your faith, or, you know, because we're talking about freedom in Christ, and
yes,
I don't know, sometimes in conversation it just kind of comes out.
Yeah, you know? Well, I think that the key issue here is one of respect of all parties involved. So if the place where you work has a policy that says nobody talks about religion at work, it's probably best to honor that policy within the workplace. However, you are in relationship with many people in that workplace, and some of them in a fairly close relationship, undoubtedly. There will be opportunities for you outside of the building. You know, you've gone to lunch, or you're just taking a walk around the block to stretch your legs, or whatever, where you would have opportunity to find out what's going on in one of your friends or a group of friends' lives. And when you're doing that, when you're in relationship with them, you're building trust with them, then there will be opportunities from time to time to be able to speak the truth about Jesus into a situation. It doesn't have to be a bad situation, or it doesn't have to be a good situation. It's just whatever life is doing. And so in that case, you're outside of a limited environment. You're in an environment where anybody can talk about anything. And you can share whatever the Spirit gives you to share. You don't have to feel guilty or pressured or anything else. If your workplace is open to, in particular, religious conversations, then you're kind of free to talk about religious things. The problem is that you know, we've got this saying that you can talk about anything but religion and politics. And that's because people tend to get polarized over religious things and political things. So that's why I said respect the people you're with. You need to be in relationship. You don't want to be a drive-by evangelist where, you know, you just see somebody and you say, you know, do you know where you're going? Are you going to hell? Are you going to heaven? And you never see them again. And that's not fair to them. It's not fair to you. So respect people, be in relationship with people, and then in the normal conversations of the day, you might be surprised at what the Spirit gives you to say to people that speaks into their lives.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Can I ask one more question?
Sure. Go ahead.
I'm really, really curious about how I should view, like, Marvin, like Seventh-day Adventists. My grandmother was a Seventh-day Adventist. I know people who are currently Seventh-day Adventists. Uh-huh. And I just heard you talking about mixing the law with the freedom that we now walk in, mm-hmm. because of what Jesus did. And, I mean, none of us can judge. None of us know who's going to end up going anywhere. But yeah. I'm just saying, we do, so when we look at, like, Seventh-day Adventists, we look for similarities because they name Jesus Christ as their Savior, even though they try to keep the law.
Okay, well, it just happens to be that I was raised in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm not one any longer, so I can kind of speak to that. Relate to a Seventh-day Adventist the way you relate to anyone. To those who, based on your conversations, it seems like they have become born-again children of God, you love them as born-again children of God. To those who don't seem to be in that situation, you love them with the love that Christ loved you, so that perhaps you can draw them to Jesus. I would avoid getting into arguments about the law. Most of them really have a strong opinion, almost a fear-based opinion, about the danger of not being under the Ten Commandments. You're not going to win any points with them by starting there and saying, well, do you realize you don't have to go to church on Saturday? You don't start there. Well, your start is with Jesus. And when someone is won to Jesus, when they're brought to Jesus and he wins them over because of his overwhelming love and grace, then surprise, surprise, the law begins to fade away, as Hebrews tells us. You know, the law is obsolete and it's fading away. And it does that when Jesus is the center of the conversation. If someone who is an Adventist asks you a specific law-based question, then you're free to give them an answer because they asked you. That way you avoid judging, they avoid judging, and what you get to do is to relate to each other on the basis of Jesus Christ, on a similarity, hopefully, rather than on differences. And just see where it goes. I've known Adventists who are completely saved children of God and have remained Adventists. I know others who couldn't remain as an Adventist, and so they left the church, just like every other denomination you'll ever meet, any person. Some of them are saved, some of them are not. Praise God for the ones who are saved, and thank him for the opportunity on occasion to lead one of them to him.
Oh, yes, because there is a scripture that kind of justifies even... Right, because I think Paul, it was, who talked about some people say they can't eat meat or, uh-huh. you know, but we're just, okay, all right.
Yeah,
okay,
so, thank you so again, treat them with respect. Treat them as fellow human beings for whom Jesus died and rose again, and use that as the starting point. Since you're a first-time caller, what I'd like to do is put you on hold and send you a couple of things just as our thanks for taking the risk and giving us a call. So
yes,
you hold on.
Thanks, Marcia. Great to hear from you, and you hold the line, and Greg will pick you up. We're going to go talk to Terry in White Plains and Dominic in Yorktown, New York, here in just a moment. But first, Richard, we have financial needs that we need to address.
Yes, we do. It takes money to put this broadcast on. Unlike commercial radio, Christian radio, you have to pay your own way. And we do that by relying on people just like you to send money in and partner with us in the proclamation of this basic gospel. And we need about $115,000, $120,000 a month in order to pay for our radio time and you know, all the things that go into running a business like
right.
this. It is a business.
Sure.
The difference, of course, is that when you participate with us, what you're getting to do is to present the freedom of Jesus to people all over the country and, in fact, all over the world, because we're also on the Internet. And your dollar is highly leveraged because the Holy Spirit sees to it. This isn't us. I mean, I can tell you, I've been here for 12 years almost. I can tell you that God provides, but he provides through you.
Yes.
And so what we ask you to do is to ask Jesus to reveal to your heart how you should participate with us and at what level. And we leave it at that. We give you the opportunity. We tell you how much we appreciate what you do. And we just ask that you be as generous as you possibly can. And then we leave it between you and God to do so. But we have been short. The summer months are always in the doldrums.
Always.
The economy has been tough. We don't need to tell you that. You don't need to tell us that. But if a lot of people do a little bit, it's taken care of.
Gets done.
Let's get this message out to people who need to hear it.
Yeah. If it's making a difference in your lives, then certainly it will make a difference in someone else's life. So join with us, friends. You can find an opportunity at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy, of course, of John Lynch's book, The Cure, which is yours for a gift of any amount during the month of July. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Or you can speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Well, now on to White Plains, New York, and talk to Terry, listening on WMCA. Terry, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Fine, thank
you. Good to hear from you.
Okay, first, I'm a first-time caller.
Good, welcome.
And welcome, thank you. I have a question that I've been struggling with. I love God, I love Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I have a son who is autistic, and I just wanted to know, if there's any scriptures in the Bible that I can read pertaining to this, how God views people that are unable to pray, that have mental illness or some kind of disability, and should I be praying for him? Will God hear my prayers for him? I'm just kind of confused on which direction to go with this.
Okay.
Can you give me some insight?
First of all, there are other people out in our audience who are dealing with the same situation you are, and I know they're praying for you right now. The Bible doesn't speak specifically to issues like autism or other kinds of illnesses, but what it does say in Romans 8, one of the best chapters in all of the Bible, in Romans 8, starting in verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. That is a critical, positive statement.
Yes, sir.
That means that your son,
mm-hmm.
regardless of how his autism impacts his ability to communicate with you and me, does not impact the ability of the Spirit to communicate with him. And so walk by faith in the fact that our all-powerful God is powerful enough to reach anyone, absolutely mm-hmm. anyone. And by the way, he's reaching you, because you have a load that few mothers have to carry, because you have to do so much with and for your son. That same Spirit is there living inside of you, giving you the right words to say, giving you the patience and the peace and the love that you need to deal with your situation. But our all-powerful God is more than able to deal with you and your son in the way that is exactly perfect. I stopped reading at the end of verse 27, you remember verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So what the Holy Spirit is doing in you and in your son is for God's glory and your good, and you can literally bet your life on that.
Thank you so much.
And so thank you for calling. I'm going to put you on hold as well. We can send you these welcome gifts. And honestly, truly, we're praying for you, and there are a whole bunch of people out there praying for you right now.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate your broadcast.
Yeah, well, you're
you.
Welcome.
God bless, Terry. Hold the line. 1-800-677-9377. If there's something on your heart and your life that you'd like to discuss, perhaps a Bible question, give us a call right now. 1-800-677-9377. To Yorktown, New York, let's talk to Dominic, listening on WMCA. Hi, friend. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Yeah, my question is, I heard a pastor on the radio say that Christ came to be a king. He didn't come to die on a cross, and I didn't know what he meant by that.
I don't know what he meant by that either, because Jesus came the first time explicitly to rescue us from the power of sin and death, and he did that. He rescued us from the power of sin by dying on the cross once for all. Many, many passages in the Bible that describe that. And he was victorious over death in his resurrection. And that's why we call this basic gospel, because 1 Corinthians 15, the first part of that chapter, and then on through the rest of the chapter when he talks about resurrection. But in the first part of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, here is the gospel that saves, that Christ died, that he was buried as proof of death, and that he rose again. Without those three things, we would be hopeless. But because he died and was victorious once for all over sin, and he was in the ground and proven to be in the ground, proven to be dead physically, and then when he was raised physically in his glorified state, he took captivity captive. I mean, he just blew away the problem of sin and death. And now, because of that, we can have forgiveness and we can be born again. Once we are born again, forgiveness is ours because of his death. So we need that whole Christ event to deal with our problem, which was spiritual death, and sin caused it. So he died for sin once and for all. He was raised back to life as victory over death, and he gives us both of those victories when we come to him by faith.
I understand what you're saying, so I don't know what the other pastor meant, but I think based on what you told me, what the Bible says, I think that's why Jesus
now,
came.
There is one thing, I don't know if you heard the whole sermon or not, but Hebrews does tell us that Jesus is coming again, but not to die. Right? We know in Revelation that Jesus is coming again as the completely victorious God of this universe to recreate our earth and the heavens as he does away with sin. That's true in the future. But the Jesus we know now lived, died, and was resurrected to deal with the sin and death problems.
Okay. That helps. Thank you.
Thank you, Dominic,
for your call.
Good to hear from you. Quickly, Richard, a question from Stacy in Calgary, Alberta. She says, why is it so difficult to find a church? Is it me? This health and wealth movement is taking over. Out of a 40-minute message, 25 of it is about tithing. Then the rest is motivational speeches on wellness and prosperity. Maybe I just can't be depending upon the church to fill me with the basic gospel as you guys teach. And hopefully someone in the Calgary area is listening and knows of a good church to recommend to Stacy. And if so, well, contact Basic Gospel and we'll pass that message on to her. But what about that? I think that has permeated.
Yeah, it does. But there's something you have to know. There is no such thing as a perfect church. Every church is made up of people like you and me. And so every church is sometimes going to fail badly at some aspect of things. That being said, we're still called to not give up meeting together. We were created for relationship, first with God, and then because of the power of his relationship in us, we can be in relationship with each other. And so we're designed to do that so we can build each other up in the Lord. If you happen to be going to a church where they're pounding you senseless about, you know, paying tithe and prosperity, just stop going there.
Yeah.
Try to find a local Bible study or start one yourself. If there is another church in your area, you'll hear about it. And
Well, there's a good one in New York City that
there
we know
is.
Of at Beulah Baptist Church, pastored by our dear friend Timothy Riles. And Bob Christopher of Basic Gospel is going to be there this Sunday from 11 o'clock. He'd love to meet you. Hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to meet Bob. And Beulah Baptist is at 125 West 130th there in New York City. Also tomorrow from 1 o'clock until 5, you folks in Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey also have the opportunity to meet Bob and Kevin McCullough. That's at the American Bible Society Atrium Cafe at 1865 Broadway. That's going to be from 1 to 5, and Bob would really, really love to meet you. So take advantage of that opportunity as well. Now for Richard and Bob and all the staff here at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition.